Hallelujah. When Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, God seeketh those to worship him, both in spirit and in truth. And very gently, just so your hands don't sit down. When he said in spirit and in truth, I knew what the in spirit meant, that he literally waited out the dispensations of 4,000 years for the first person to appear on this planet that had a nature like his and could fellowship with him. Like that. See? And in truth. How many remembers Chuck the Duck? How come you can remember that and not what I preached last Sunday? He said, and he taught in parables. And in the laws of meditation, you'll find out that parables, they cross just about every barrier, international. A wolf's a wolf in any country. And a duck's a duck. In any country. So when you use a parable, then you're painting a picture inside of them of what you're saying. And we use Chuck the Duck because they slipped a duck egg in a hen's nest, a chicken. He's a duck, but he was raised as a chicken. Poor little guy liked to starve, trying to dig stuff up with that fat mouth he had. Couldn't scratch the ground hardly. And he got whipped every time he jumped in the pool. Well, what possessed you to jump in that pond again? Whipped, she just tanned his little tail feathers. That's where that came from. That saying. You know. Just tanned his little tail feathers until they just beat on him. But he still said, what possessed you to jump in the water? I don't know, Mom. Just something inside of me said I could swim. You bet. It was his nature. And not only was he worshiping him in spirit when he jumped in and swam, he was worshiping him in truth. So one day a swarm of ducks came over and they came in for a landing. Hello, duck.
I'm not a duck. I'm a chicken.
You're a duck.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Look at yourself in the water and look at us. You got a fat mouth. Look at your feet. Oh, for crying out loud. Look at your feet. Now look at a chicken's feet in their mouth.
Well, I know they all called me ugly.
He said, you're a duck. Chickens can't swim.
They can't.
He said, no. So he said, and here's something else you can do. You wanna worship the Lord duck in truth too? Look at this, run like we're running on the water. Flap, flap. And he lifts off. He says, oh my God. And he said, yes. He said, I can fly. I can fly. So he circled around and his brothers and sisters were playing in the field and he swept down and rolled them. You guys were wrong. I'm a duck. I can fly. Look, I can fly. I'm worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I can fly. Look, where are you going? Oh, is this summer or winter? Winter. I'm going south. What are you going to do? I'm going to go worship the Lord duck. He says he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. I have his nature. I can fellowship with him. So can you. I mean, you have his nature. You can communicate and fellowship with mysteries that don't belong to this world. He's give you a supernatural language that was born in heaven and created. You can't even understand what you're saying when you pray in tongues. But when you finish praying a mystery up, guess what? He downloads. Why? Because you supplied your spirit in prayer and prayed that mystery up. And when it comes back, I guarantee you it can produce a lot of things in you, including my first walk up to a microphone. I remember when I got the boldness to do it, I was so scared. I was hiding in the kitchen. It had a serving counter where you lifted it up, put stuff on that counter, and people in the woodworker's hall for $5 a night. So when they'd serve them food, it was over that counter, but they were in there, and a kid was playing the guitar, and he played every song he knew, and I was hiding. I'd peeking at him. He was sweating, but I didn't care. Finally, I got bold enough to walk out. When I was in Japan this last time, I seen at least 18-year vision come to pass. He gave me two nations 20 years ago or better. Brazil, Japan. Japan come to pass. And I was over his preaching, and I looked out over the crowd, and I remembered I was talking to a guy, and I mentioned Yokosuka because our ship destroyer put in Yokosuka when I was a teenager. And the guy said, I used to live in Yokosuka. And I said, I was there 40 years ago. If you'd have told me then you're going to come back preaching in 40 years, I'd said, you need help. Get a psychiatrist. But it has. If I was God, I wouldn't pick you. I wouldn't pick me. I wouldn't pick me. Call me to preach when I can't even get up. And I took the low grades rather than get up. And what Church of God of Prophecy, where I was in Gilchrist, she badgered me into getting up. She says he's called. So I finally got up and just took the mic and went, It's good. Well, I'm sorry, folks, she said. I'm sorry. He told me he was called to preach. I apologize. To the people, not me. Yet, what caused the change? So what caused the change? Can you imagine a father who not only loves you, but when you don't know how to pray, he fixed it where he comes to you and supplies the prayer, the one that needs to be said, and then supplies the answer to it? How can we fail? How can we fail? Supplying the prayer. Well, I know what he needs. I know what kind I needed, you know, to pop my big fat head for how good I could sing, you know. Can you imagine that? God, your Father, the Godhead goes into operation. Your Father loves you. The Holy Ghost baptized you. You got born again. Can you imagine him loving you so much that you're going around trying to pray? God is good. God is great. If this was a camera, it would be a take. I hope I'm not a martyr and end up on the stake. If that's so, I'd just like to walk through the pearly gates. because money's not my honey. You know I don't have to stop, don't you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. So what did God do? He says, oh, look at them. Look at them. They don't know what to say. The little things. Okay. Individually, we'll search their hearts and give them the prayer they need. And then we'll see if we can get them to pray it. Okay. Go ahead. Well, it's going off in him, kind of. He kind of knows, but he's not saying nothing. How are we going to get these guys to pray? I guess it's come to this. We've got to come down and create the prayer. Then they've got to say it. And when they say it, then we have to answer it. So we'll tell them what to say so we can answer it. So if we really believe something like that and God wants to see Tulsa in revival, who doesn't have a chance? Us or Tulsa? They don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. Hallelujah, Jesus. He always gets me when I'm changing gears and I'm blank for a moment. Here comes the tongues. For I wanted to say enjoy, but he said delights. Sounds more King James, doesn't it? Yes, sir. I'll stop. He delights in edifying you, encouraging you. And he delights in when something that he's encouraged you in and gave to you, that you begin to lift it up and walk in it, that it comes to pass. These things delight him. These things delight him. This is why he enjoys the times you spend in worship and the times you spend praying in your prayer language. Whew. Okay, excuse me. I'll see you till later, I guess. Can I? Make it. Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to do this service first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, in the early church, they got so out of order, Paul had to put it in order. But he didn't put it in such a tight order. You know, their supply was the visiting prophets that came and things. That's why they said, you know, let the one speak, and the other hold their peace. And the way we understand prophecy, it's like this. Yeah, I say unto you, that God. And I'm thinking, how do they hold that? But really, really, the prophets were a strong supply of the meat and the word. So they had something to say when they got up. That's why the other two could hold their peace. But they didn't have Bibles in their lap. They'd be lucky if they could read, get a scroll from the local synagogue of at least the Old Testament. See? And so this was the churches, and he brought order to them, but they wasn't really a one-man show. You know, or two men, or a couple of singers. Of course, they was the man that brought the message in that, but visiting preachers, evangelists, Paul, the way it was orchestrated, the prophets. I mean, all of them was a major supply to the church. So a lot of people had different parts in it. Nobody just froze up when he picked the microphone up and says, this is it, this is it. Three songs and a pastry delight, 43-minute message, and that's it. If you don't let us out before lunch, we're going to quit coming here. So when God runs off like this, I notice there's several people that run off with him, only they go out the door. But I think you should play more of a part than to just warm in the chair at times. Hallelujah. I just love to hear people, like their testimonies and things.
Do you have any word you can tell?
I could wear you out if you want. Hallelujah. About 100 years ago when I started praying in the Holy Ghost, because I didn't know how else to spend the time when I walked off my job with 3 little kids. David, Steve, Bill. I went and reported to the prayer place, but I'd like to tell you what, you run out of English in about 15 minutes. Then you're stuck there for hours. The question settled was whether you could pray in tongues anytime you want or not. The holiness had an issue with that. I decided on my own that you can. Because that's how I spent my time. I had no idea that I'd hear things like this. How could I? See, no idea. And when it first began to happen, a little Tim trimmed my tree. We were sitting around my desk in an early morning, Tuesday morning meeting that we have. And I'd gotten a letter from a president's wife from some country. Anyway, and I said, I guess those prophecies are going to come to pass. I'll stand before kings. And then Tim says, the last time I heard that from some preachers, they were totally destroyed. What? I barely told any about anything. But he was right. You know, that monkey, he gets a hold of you. You become a whole lot bigger than you are in your own eyes. And I can tell you what, that's no good. That's no good. And if that doesn't take you out, the greatness of myself, then the devil has money. That's why he said persecution, affliction, the cares of this life, that's bad enough. But then the deceit of riches, and finally that lust for other things. I'm great, aren't I? No. Hallelujah, Jesus. So then I, you know, one thing I wouldn't quit doing is the praying in tongues. And true to form, it'll edify you and it'll take you down the right track, because you're praying God's plan for your life out forward. And if you're supposed to make a right turn here, you pray that out and you're not going to miss that turn. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. We don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit and can pray accurately for you according to his will. Then you can know all things will work together for the good. Then you'll love God and are called and working now his purpose.
And what does that come from?
Praying in tongues. Little voice of unbelief. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, I don't mind telling you that I'm excited, because I've seen him work paths before and it seems like they'll stay for a while. And I didn't know it looked like less was happening for a period of time, but the prayer was going out ahead, preparing for the rest of it. And I know that's what he's doing now. Now. And every time, just before a major move was made, the devil would come with his forces. And one time I saw in a vision, it wasn't the kind when all those devils come in the room. This one was a vision. He was standing over there. He had like a uniform on, a soldier of some kind. And he was just staring over the crowd. And then then all of a sudden he did something, and a whole bunch of demons came in and covered the whole crowd and started chanting. You remember? They started chanting, "Something is wrong here. Something is wrong here." Thus over and over they found out, "Something is wrong here." And I was stepping off the steps and walking to my office. It was closing the service then. It was over. And they kept quoting, "Something is wrong here." And they kept chanting. And we had an evacuation take place that year. And that's what they left saying. And some of you are thinking, "You're just saying that so we won't leave." I can hear that. Well, I'm preaching for two of us. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can't help but get tickled. Now, how can I say this? I'm seeing things again. We went and prayed ourselves through a valley. And I'm seeing things again like I saw when he first said to me, "I sent you here to receive or to have a revival. Tulsa's in revival." I came preaching in another church and I regretted because my vision wouldn't fit in his. He was top-notch guy. But that's not what I was called to do. And so, what I saw was an aerial shot. And the fields was empty around us like they still are. And the aerial view was of I-75. And the traffic was backed up several miles trying to exit and get off and come in. And I seen fields of people. And God only knows what kind of miracles would be taking place to cause something like that. You know. Now, I've always, hold this for me, if I look for it, give it back. I've always had this inside working towards a children's hospital because I've been around enough children that were mangled and stuff and born and can't do nothing and some blind and deaf and everything. And they, you know, when you're in these kind of services, there's an influx. People come with hope. So I've seen a lot. And I don't never know what to tell the parents. Well, trust God. Well, what do you think they're trying to do? How do you explain to the kid if he's able to communicate? Are you, you're just special. You're special. Do you think God healed him? Yeah. You think that he was healed when Jesus took his sins and the beatings and bore and carried the weight of them and died under the penalty of every damnable disease known to mankind? It's not got the power to kill you or them. But the devil can't let us break through to an operation like that now, can he? It would change our whole generation. He can't let that happen. I'd rather just coast. You keep me saved and I'll go to heaven. How about that? I would just coast. But when I did step over, it was at the end of the corridor. That was the big, thick door. And when I stepped through it, I experienced the love of God in its fullness, I think, for 1 minute. Had to be. And I've tried to explain it since, and I get a D, sometimes a C. But this is the closest I could come. But what it left me with is I know it's possible. And all those devils came and met me in that room because they were supposed to keep me from even tasting that much. And that's why they chanted for a good part of the night, "I'm going to kill you." Well, I run them off so I couldn't see them. And eventually that was over. But they didn't want me to step into that, not even for the minute. And this is what it felt like, you know, like, let's do it again. Yeah, it's real fat because there's a lot of ones in it. If I turn loose of it, what's it going to do? Now please, how come you're so sure? Is it some stupid law God created? Oh, you got faith in that law, huh? Come on. He created the world. But he died on a cross too, didn't he? He created the gravity, yeah. He also supplied the new nature for your spirit, didn't he? He also died a horrible death under every disease known. Didn't he? Are you sure? What's going to happen when I drop this? You're really smart. I thought it was going to go up. Okay. Here I'm in, stepping into that. And because those hospitals has burned me so long. Here I'm stepping in. And there what come up before me. And for that 1 minute, I knew. No. I knew. Well, yeah, but you got... No. 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 I knew. I was going to that hospital. Not to pray for. To empty it. I knew. For 1 minute. And you know what? I'm going to go back there. And nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to go back. So... there's two real powerful sources, very powerful. One is praying in tongues, which has all the compartments of your meditation. You'll pray in the Spirit, mysteries will begin to form. You get scriptures out, you meditate. We got whole teachings on assimilating His Word. That's one. And the second is your worship. I have to call it private because, you know, we worship in church, but then because there's so many people come together and the needs and the word and the things, then of course you have to have the traditional service, which is scriptural. So you couldn't possibly worship enough just here in the service. But I found that private worship had everything to do with the love of God. When I stepped on that, that's what it was there. It was His love. In private worship, you can't bask your spirit in adoration for God and keep verses in front of Him with you, magnifying the verses through the love. Like, ooh, I worship you and glorify you and praise you and magnify your holy name. I just call to say I love you. No horrific trials. No healing denials. Nobody's been mean to me today. I'm just strolling along. Nothing at all is wrong. I just want you to know. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just called to say I love you, and I do so from the bottom of my heart.
Why did you do that?
Because I do. I do. It don't take a horrendous beating from the devil and a ferocious test and try and baptized in a sewer. Doesn't take that to get me to go in. I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just called. Do you need a reason? I don't need a reason. No. Well, why do you do it then? Because I do. Because I do. You can't magnify who He is in your nature, which is love, and that new nature He gave you. You can't. You can't magnify Him in that hour after hour without you experiencing some incredible love presence change. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, a new death that's been forming inside of my spirit is, it comes from knowing what happens in heaven when you lay your side on somebody and praise for them. When He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, I mean, He's the one that died for them, so why don't He do it? What does He want from me? The authority you have. Pray, Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers. You mean I got that kind of authority? Yes, sir. I can grab somebody up, walk them up to God, and leave Him with them with such a finality that I can walk away and know a whole bunch of people's lives and the life of angels have been altered because of the authority in that prayer. They're on an interception course with the name I gave them. That person is in for it.
Well, I got great faith. I'd like to display it in front of people by people jumping out of wheelchairs.
Why don't you display it with bringing some of your relatives home? Hallelujah. Okay? Okay? When I went to Palm Springs, I went up to preach a meeting for a friend while I was there. I went up there and all of the boys was with us. I drove up in our van years ago. David, Bill, Steve. So I know some of you heard this, so be quiet. No sooner got there and here's a desert full of snakes. And David says, can I have the van? Go help me. I said, yeah, but you got to be back tonight for the service.
Okay.
So I said, okay, but be back by tonight. And he came back with somebody. He brought some guy back and prayed for him after I heard their story. And the guy fell over in front of the hotel on the sidewalk. And he got up and said, God's God. You know what brought him to that point? David's going up dirt roads and he goes to this little establishment finally and pulls up front. A couple of guys came out to wait on him or whatever. So they walked up to the van and one of them steps back like that and said, where'd you get that book? It was laying in the back seat. Where'd you get that book? And David said, my dad wrote it. He said, no, he didn't. Where'd you get it? He said, he wrote it. David had to get his driver's license out to show him. And the guy just went pale. He said, why? What's the deal here? The guy said, my wife and two children. I used to go to a little church over here. She loved it. But they were coming home from somewhere and got in a wreck and it killed all of them. And I don't believe in a God that would take your children and your wife. I don't believe in Him. But then he said, I remembered that she had got a hold of a book. She loved that book. So it came to me and I just threw it out there. I says, God, if I could meet the person that wrote this book by tonight, then I'll believe in You. Now you have to understand, we're 1,100 miles from home in the desert. David says, follow Me. They told me that story. I like to fell over. The guy falls out under the power. After a while, he gets up and he says, God, he's God. What's the odds? What's the odds? Who are You? And I'll tell you why he brought that back to me, because earlier, and he brought that part back too, he said he wants you to name somebody today that you need to be saved. A family member, somebody you love. And you see, this is the way I get what I need to move very powerfully, saith the Lord. For it's my delight to administer My presence and receive what I need to track these people down. So you got some relative you want to give Him. And this is when I first come out, he was talking to me real loud. And I was trying to listen to you guys, but I couldn't hardly. Anyway. So stand up where you're at. Get a name. It can be somebody you love. It's mostly been relatives before. But you can. If it's somebody you love, and you can follow them. And these people I turned over, now I can give you stories on many of them. How they turned up, how we found them. What happened? One of them called the office and gave their story, and I like to faint it. Are you thinking of somebody? Make it real clear. You know, don't say, I want the world to be saved. Make it clear. Single somebody out so that you and God both can work on them. Single them out. Know who they are. Okay. Couples. A couple. Married couple or so that you love. So get them out. And get ready. Because when I get to the part where I'll say the name out, I'll say, and Father, I thank You for saving. Then you say it out loud after I do. And we'll go on with the finishing of the prayer. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming before You, and all of these are in agreement with me. And I'm coming to drop somebody off with You and leave them in Your presence. I mean, I'm going to throw them on You and take my hands off of them and leave them with You, because I'm going to be calling them saved. In Jesus' name. So, Father God, first, I want to worship You and glorify You with all my heart. That You would show me something like this, and I've seen so much fruit from it. How can I say thanks? So, Father, right now, right now. Okay, begin to repeat this after me. Father God, I'm bringing this person or persons before you. I'm going to drop them off. I'm going to leave them with you to be saved. So, Father, I'm leaving Rick. You can have another throw at that if you want. I'm leaving Rick there. So, Father, I know we've given you what you need to go after them. So now I'm going to rejoice. And whatever they go through, I'm going to be so tickled knowing you're in there somewhere. I'm going to be so tickled and get ready to shout on the day that they cross the line and come into the kingdom of God. I want to thank you for saving them. Saving them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. You might as well just walk around and act like they're saved. Hallelujah. That almost got away from me. I'm not going to let that happen again. How long's it been since we've done that? She looks dangerous. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He told me to tell you that the only thing that was holding you back, the only thing that is holding you back is your fear. So take your first steps and come in. I'll meet you there. When you step into me in opposition to that fear, don't you know that I'll come and strengthen you in that area? So obey. I've called you. I've called you. So don't let fear stop you from moving forward. Who are you talking to? They know. They know. Despair. Oh my God. Lord, I'm driving you. I'm trying, but I got to fight this despair. It looks like there's no way out of this. This is horrible. God, I need some help. I think he heard you. I'm just repeating what I'm saying. Whoever you are, would you like to come up? I mean, you should come up. Rest of you can be seated. Appreciate the rest of you so much. Do you understand? We don't call them up just to pray for them. It's to change. It's to change. Something's going to change. Something's going to be different. You excited? Yeah, why? Because they're not staying the same. I'm not just praying for them.